So in Christmases past, we've looked at Christmas from the shepherd's point of view and how God chose the lowly to announce the arrival of his son. And Mary and Joseph, who bore humiliation and gossip from those who did not understand God and what he was doing. The wise men who sought diligently for the Saviour and found him. But we have not yet looked at Christmas from the eyes of Jesus. Well, he was just a baby, and there's little said on that matter. But let's look more closely. So if you could turn to those who have their Bibles, otherwise it'll be up on the screen. Hebrews 10, 5 to 10, an unusual scripture to find another section of the Christmas story. And it says, I'll read it, Hebrews 10, 5 through to 10. When he came to the world, he said, "Sacrifice and burnt offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. To do your will, O God, by saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, offerings according to the law.' Then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.'" He takes away the first that he may establish the second. In verse 10, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." So how does this relate to the Christmas story? Well, what it does is strings together a multitude of crescendos of majestic moments and miracles. Joseph and Mary were visited by divine emissaries with mysterious messages. And the shepherds were stunned when the sky became the angel stage as the heavenly host played a private performance heralding God's Son. In a faraway land, wise men noticed a celestial signal shining in the dark night sky and began their trek to worship the King. But of all the dramas that stands out and full of great intensity is this scene shot in heaven itself. Here on the doorsteps of heaven, we picture the Father and the Son saying their farewells. Usually we get the accounts of Christmas from Matthew and Luke, but in the book of Hebrews, we are privy to that conversation, that dialogue between the Son and the Father, as the Son is about to take his first steps downwards from his eternal home. He turns and says goodbye to the one with whom he has spent eternity. So reread Hebrews verse 5, it says, "Sacrifice and offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure." Hence the problem. Mercy and patience is one of the Father's attributes that the Son saw firsthand. Day after day, month after month, year after year, the Hebrew priests slit the throat of bulls and goats, sprinkling fresh blood on the altar. And day after day, the Father was true to his word, accepting these sacrifices as payment for their sins. But the Son saw the look in his Father's eye and that he was not fully satisfied with the blood of goats and bulls. In a sense, it was bending the rules to approve them because all nature was infected by sin. The beasts who were tainted with the same sin, they were intended to atone. And they served only as a covering and had to be repeated again and again, year in, year out. See, what was required was pure blood from a sinless sacrifice that would blot out sin forevermore, untainted blood to sanitize a stained, sin-stained life, and at the same time satisfying God's justice and righteousness. So where can the Father go for a sinless sacrifice? Certainly not to a fallen planet. Only God himself qualifies. The Father looked at the Son, and the Son the Father, and both understood the solution. The more succinctly a person states the answer reveals how well a person understands the problem. And in verse 5 we see, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me." Spirit does not pierce, nor does it bruise or bleed. And that's why Jesus needed a human body. And right from the outset, Jesus knew exactly what he came in the world to do. The cross was not an accident, but destiny. Jesus came to put an end to sacrifice of bulls and goats once and for all. And Jesus' blood was untainted, pure and perfect. Therefore, it's potent. And it's still, 2,000 years on, works wonders, works miracles. So from the moment Jesus left heaven, he was headed to the cross and he put on a body of flesh to do the Father's will. Philippians 2:8 says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So the babe in the manger was born to die. John MacArthur, in his book God With Us, says, here is a side to Christmas not often told. Those soft little hands fashioned by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb were made so that nails might be driven through them. Those baby feet, pink and unable to walk, would one day walk a dusty hill to be nailed to a cross. And that tender body wrapped in swaddling cloths would one day be ripped open by a spear. Jesus was born to die. Revelations 13:8 says, Jesus, the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. So when Jesus stepped out of heaven, he was fully aware of where the road was leading him. G.K. Chesterton writes, alone of all creeds, Christianity has added courage to the virtues of the Creator. Jesus remembered the look in his Father's eyes and he took that brave step and did what he had to do and did it courageously. His ministry was no mystery. The coming of Mary's Lamb was foretold in Scripture. Verse 7 of the text we're reading says, in the volume, that's the entirety of the book, this is what this book is all about, is Jesus. It is written of me, to do your will, O God. Over here. But this does not make it any more palatable to the humans. It's a quandary. Why did God go so far just to die? You see, the culture of the cross at that time did not fit in to the picture of redemption. And the Magi gift of myrrh is tantamount to giving formaldehyde to a baby shower, as a gift to a baby shower. It's a bizarre gift indeed. And John the Baptist at Jesus' baptism said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So before Jesus was to wear a crown of glory, he was to wear a crown of thorns. Nancy Shaw, in imagining herself as Mary, ponders, quiet he lays, whose eyelids have not closed before. His breath so slight, it seems no breath at all. Breath, mouth, ears, eyes, he is curtailed, who overflowed all skies. All years older than eternity, now is new, and for him to see me mended, I must see him torn. And now as we fast forward 30 years, imagine Mary at the cross, the body prepared by the Father for the Son, now torn, ripped, bleeding. The sacrifice is on the altar. Again, a look at the Father's eyes. Acceptance as the penalty for sin is paid, and the demands are satisfied forevermore. And Jesus cried, it is finished. Finished from God's end. Forgiveness no longer requiring installments and repetition. Forgiveness full and free, and it's a full and permanent pardon. Now comes the offer. All we have to do is open our hearts by faith and receive. See, the world spins on and does not seek God, but a person can. A person can feel the pain that we've caused, can feel the shame of each and every wrong deed that we've done. And it's with that remorse we confess our sin and look into his eyes and find acceptance. Our normal view of Christmas, the baby in the manger, new life, with it comes the cross. It's a tasteless reminder of the dark ages. Now, I don't want to mess up the image of tinsel and lights, and it's wonderful to go around and visualise or see those lights, but mixed with that is always gore, suffering and bloodshed. And it's hard to collaborate the two. Yet if it's not for the cross, there is no reason for Christmas. All the values of Christmas, peace, love, goodwill and new life, all were purchased through the cross of Jesus. Amy Carmichael says, the cross always stands near the manger. The crib and the cross go together. We look at the holly branch that we have. It's a symbol of the crown of thorns that the Roman soldiers weaved for the Messiah, formed from the branch of a holly bush. And they bent it to a crown and shoved it on the brow of Jesus. And the red berries, a reminder of the droplets of blood from Jesus' forehead. The candy cane was fashioned by a confectioner when the government banned all talk of Christmas. And he formed it in a shepherd's crook, the red representing the redeeming blood of Christ and the white representing cleansed, white as snow, as Isaiah says. So we cannot really worship the baby in the manger till we have trusted our lives to the Saviour on the cross. Jesus was born to die so that we could die to live. So embrace the cross, trust Jesus to forgive you, and you will experience the miracle of Christmas. Max Lucado, in his book, The Glory of Christmas, says, "Can anything make me stop loving you?" God asks, "Watch me speak your language, sleep on your earth, feel your hurts. You wonder how long my love will last. Find your answer on a splintered cross on a craggy hill. That's me you see up there, your maker, your God. Nail stabbed and bleeding, covered in spit and sin soaked. That's your sin I'm feeling, your death I'm dying. That's your resurrection I'm living. That's how much I love you." So the invitation is to all of us, those who have not, to receive God's forgiveness. Christmas is the start of a new life. And all I ask now is that you bow with me, those who've already prayed this prayer, that's fine, but there are people who need to make this prayer their life's prayer. So let's bow our heads and pray and accept that invitation. Jesus, I believe you are the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. You died in my place, and I ask you to forgive all my sin, and I invite you into my life and make me the person you want me to be. Thank you for the gift of new life. And those of us who have received this gift, sometimes we just need to be reminded of the great love that God has for us and the great lengths he went to for us. There's the words of an old hymn that I love, and I've been singing that over and over again, just in gratitude to what the Lord has done. To God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things he has done. By his blood he has saved me, by his power he has raised me. To God be the glory. Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for reminding us of how great you are and what great lengths you have gone to prove your love for us. I ask your blessing upon each one of these women. May they be reminded throughout all of Christmas, Lord, as we have those symbols around us, Lord, of what you have done for us. We thank you that you are the God who died for us. We thank you that we have new life in you. In Jesus' name, we pray this.